Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, I will finish with bonds, showing you how to price them and find the yields rather efficiently. But of course, before that, we'll have a look at the tragedy that is the markets today and show you something else here. give it a second to load this. Okay. We'll do this. It'll show. Okay, as you can see, we have something of a mixed day. The Dow is up a little bit, 0.25%, but then the S&P 500 is down 0.5%, and the NASDAQ is just taking a whack today, a beating, just those small caps, higher risk, and the volatility of the market that's there right now is just absolutely phenomenal as far as the small caps go. They're much more sensitive, and it's especially to things like interest rates. Now, crude oil has slid, which is good news, and it won't last, I will tell you right now. What crude oil's the fall right now is because there are ongoing talks between Russia and Ukraine, and the fantasy crowd is believing that that's going to resolve this war. And then the pipelines from Russia will flow their oil out into the world and everyone will be happy. It ain't going to happen. That will be back up very soon. But right now there's a little bit of hope in the market that good news will be coming. Now, if you come over here, and gold and silver are down. The money is pouring out of a lot of things right now. If you go over here, the 10-year bond yield is up, price will be down. And we're going to see that today with examples. And I'll give you examples. Be sure to just write the steps down, and then you don't have a problem with these at all. But you'll see yield going up, price goes down. And so, in other words, price going down means that investors are selling the bonds, getting out of bonds. They're getting rid of metals, as you can see over here. And the only place where you see a little bit of money is in the Dow 30, but that's nothing spectacular. If we look at the Dow's trading activity today, we're halfway through the day, and more than halfway through the day, and the volume is not half of what it typically is. It's 190 million shares. Typical day, it's 400, so it will not finish up at the typical average volume over the daily volume over the last 52 weeks. All that means is that we're having a slow day. There is defensive positions being held. Investors, the heavy investors, are not going to make any really high-powered moves right now. However, there are a few places where there are bright spots. Whenever you look at a situation that is bad in a large sense, you have to know that somewhere there is good news. Supply chains for foods are in trouble right now. For one thing, just to give you an idea, Ukraine was the largest or the second largest producer of crops for the Soviet Union during the Soviet era. They are still a major producer, and that's going to be out the window. Russia, large, vast acreage of arable land for crops. We're not going to see those coming to the market at all. So significant sources of food products are not going to be there. So what does that mean? Well, let's look at food stocks. Well, those would surely go down, wouldn't they? Why, you would think so. Let's have a look. ConAgra. Oh. Well, that's unusual. What else could we look at? Well, obviously Kellogg. Yeah, I forgot Kellogg. Oh, gee, why would they be going up if I just said that the world's food supply is going to hell in a handbasket? Well, because that means that supply of food goes down, prices go up, profits go up for the companies that produce the foods. So, yeah. Really, it did?
Yeah.
Do you know its trading symbol?
CCEP, I think.
CCE.
P.
P. Oh, the Euro-Pacific. Yeah, that's where I was caught. Well, that's not bad. 2.5% right now. Gee, everyone can drink Coke. They can't get anything nourishing to eat, so we might as well just drink Coke. But those kinds of consumer products actually would not do badly in a situation like this. Thank you for that one, because that one was a little off my radar. Well, that one, the European version, was off my radar. But these kinds of supply chain disruptions sometimes actually have the effect that you wouldn't expect on the products involved. And sometimes as a matter of fact, I was burned because I thought natural gas was going to be a major upswing. It's collapsing. And that one, I got nothing on that. And a lot of times when you hear, well, why did this happen? Sometimes you can say, well, it's these factors right here. But sometimes, it's like, I've got no clue. And that's one of the reasons why you should not play in markets where you don't have an understanding of the underlying. I know hydrocarbon products. I know oil and things like that. But I did not understand the gas market, stepped into it, got my butt burned. So there you go. Good news. Anyway, moving over here, if you look over here at the Financial Times, the FTSE 100 index of 100 big stocks on the London, it had a day. I mean, are they over yet? I don't know if they're finished up for the day or not. It's about sunset there. But yeah, they had a decent up day. And Nikkei is kind of tailing downward. There's concerns. It spiked up at the beginning of the day. But from the little that I'm hearing from Asia, there is concern that China is looking to see how it goes with Russia overrunning Ukraine so that it can assess its possibility of taking Taiwan. And there's concern that there could be a conflict there, although I'm not too sure China wants to get involved, having seen the mess that Russia has gotten itself into with the world for what it's done. But this is one of those places where you start to learn about the markets, learn about the geopolitics, and you become a better informed, not just citizen, but a better informed investor. And it gives you ideas of where to put money, where not to put money, and when to hold back. And right now, this is not a good idea unless you want to take some pretty serious risk. I want to look at one quick thing here. TQQQ, and I'll show you what this is. Now, these are volatility measures. TQQ is down. VIX, the big VIX, is up some. Now, that is a volatility measure. It is up significantly, more than 3.5% today. Volatility is what's going on. Look at the chart for just today. It's bouncing like a kangaroo. No bear market, no bull market, just a kangaroo market. And if you look at it over the past month, good grief, that is an incredible amount of volatility in that thing. And so from that, what can you say? Now, you see this beta? That's a negative beta. And those are very unusual animals. In other words, this is a contrarian index. It moves against the market. So in other words, if the market is smooth and going up, well, you're going to lose money on the VIX. If the market is massively volatile and going down, you might make some money on it. In a case like this, the market's just all over the place going crazy. So, and it's going down, though. And so this means that the VIX is going to probably perform very well. Right now, up 4% for the day. This is the UVXY. It's essentially an ETF You're betting on futures, which are always going to be crazy volatile. And you're buying a basket of futures contracts. And so expect to have all kinds of excitement. But look at that. So far, if you had invested in the VIX, UVXY, on January the 1st, you'd already be up 60% on your investment just on this. Should you do it? Well, that depends on just how crazy you are and how much of a risk taker, because, I mean, just taking the absolute value of that beta tells you this is insanely risky territory. But greater the risk, the greater the expected return. And we'll be doing that on Wednesday and Friday, and I'll be giving you lots of examples of just how powerful this rule of finance is. Let me show you something. Remember I told you about yield curves? And the bad one is the inverted yield curve and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking about how, yeah, well, the yield curve has that odd little dip there, 20 to 30, but I wouldn't worry about that. As long as the internal yield curve is going up, and then we're okay. So let's have a look at it today. Uh-oh. Look at that. 10-20 has inverted. And, of course, the 20-30 had been inverting, but now you've got an internal and an interior inversion. That means we'll have a recession. And all it has to do is that somewhere in the 5-7, 3-5-7-10-20, somewhere in there, an inversion, and there's the game right there. We'll have a recession, and it will be within 6 to 9 months, and it may be pretty strong, but that's to be determined by other numbers. Yeah.
Isn't that not necessarily guaranteed, though?
No, it's not. There have been pauses, but not recessions after inversions, but every recession has been preceded by an inverted yield curve. Now, I'm saying that just based upon not just this yield curve, but the other numbers are pointing to it. You're absolutely right, though. An inversion does not necessarily lead to a recession, although it will lead to a pause. But every recession has been preceded by an inversion, and other numbers are pointing right to it right now. Especially with the Fed, it has to bring up interest rates. That's going to slow down the economy. And that's going to be, and then if we have started having major supply chain interruptions, that's going to get us involved. The good news is that if we do get into a war, that will be a short-term economic stimulus. And that's just the way it is. Long-term, they drag down economies. But if we can make it short and sweet, it'll give us a goose to the economy. So we are not there yet. It was 35 miles inside of the Ukraine border, but if one piece of shrapnel had gone into Poland, Article 5 would have kicked in and all hell would have broken loose. So let's kind of keep our fingers crossed that the Russians aren't quite that stupid. Well, although, like I said, it would be good for the economy here, and I do, if you get drafted, please send postcards with pictures. I mean, you know, just for my Instagram account, it's pretty slow. No, seriously, it scares me for you folks. It really does. Although I have to say, you know, I hope that my contract is solid, so no matter how few students I have, I'll still teach. Anyway, that is the grim calculus. Will you get off me? Oh, yeah, everyone needs that stupid Teams on their stupid webs. God, this pisses me off. Anyway, okay. Now, you see I've got the calculator up here. That's because this will be calculator. Now, for God's sake, write down my steps. And also, I am going to give you at least 2 questions on future quizzes and on the final. I promise you they will be there. And if you just write your notes down, you'll have them. And then try to work out the logic of them after you've gotten the mechanics of it down. But I've gone through the fluff part or the qualitative part of bonds, talked about different kinds of bonds, you know, your classic corporate and government bonds, discount bonds, and all of that. And agency bonds, government bonds, corporate bonds, the ratings of bonds, foreign bonds, convertibles, callables, all that kind of stuff. Now let's just get down to the brass tacks of how you do them. I will caution you that I have found out that in some accounting classes, they show you how to do this on the calculator, and the way they're doing it is actually gets you the wrong answer. It's not terribly wrong, and I will make a wide enough answer range for a quiz or the final so that you'll still get it. I'll do the calculation the wrong way, and you'll still be able to get the right answer. You'll still get credit for it. But here's how you do it right. Just follow my steps, for God's sake. Now, bonds have parameters. In other words, there are numbers in a bond's description, in its technical description. And what we want to do is take those parameters out of the words and put them into the formula or the calculator. I did this as a math teacher for many years. I said, word problems are always a pain in the ass. They're scary. Get the words out of your way as fast as possible. Once you've got the formula, most people can do it. It's just getting it out of the words and into the problem. Let's do a CVS 4.20% 2035. Those will be there. Those numbers will always be there. And there's one number that is there, but it's not written. The future value of a bond, what it pays at the end of its life, is $1,000. Along the way, it pays the coupon. In other words, it just holds the debt steady, paying the interest on the face. And at the end, it pays that $1,000 off. Now, the coupon on your calculator is going to be the PMT button. There's another percentage in here. Don't get them confused. Coupon, PMT. Okay, now, the other number that is hidden will always be the face value, which is always going to be $1,000. Now be careful, because sometimes you get quotes that are on the 100. So I might say it's 98.25. That means $982.50. The quote is on the 100. It doesn't have a dollar sign. You can always tell that. It won't have a dollar sign if it's a quote. And unfortunately, some people violate that. That number will always go in the FV slot. Always the FV slot. It is not written. You just know it. It's there. Now, one of two numbers will be given to you. There's a price and there's a yield. You'll get one of them and you'll find the other one. The one that's easy is the price. The one that's a little trickier is the yield. It's not too tricky, but you got to remember something. Now, the price will represent what the market says this bond should pay. The yield says it too. But let's do one where we know the yield. 4.35%. Let's say that the market says, CVS, your 4.2% coupon sucks. It's not good enough. We think you should be paying 4.35%. But you're not. So we're going to punish you. We're going to sell your bonds. That will drive the price down. If you have the yield, it goes in the I percent. If you have the yield, it goes in the I percent. The price is the PV. Get this down. Just follow this follow this chart. You make this like a chart in your notes, and then you just follow it. I put this here, this here, this here. It's just like putting the pieces of a puzzle together by the instructions. Souder furniture. This is the finance equivalent of Souder furniture, which probably explains why I never was able to build it right, because I didn't read the instructions. But anyway, okay, so here we have the yield, so we don't know the price. I could give you the price, and then we wouldn't know the yield. But in this one, we know the yield. So we're going to turn on the calculator, apps, finance, TVM solver. Now, we're going to do this with the coupons being paid every year. In real life, the coupons are paid twice a year, but we'll do one with just yearly annuals. Your book, your textbook, and the problem start off with just simple annual payments. We'll soup it up here in a minute. But now, the term of the bond will always be 1 year Now, if you're crazy enough to take a next level course where we do bonds, we can finally divide, well, exactly when in 2035 does it pay off, and exactly what day is it now? And I mean, that gets to be way too much like work. All we're going to do is just say 2035 minus 2022. Yes, I know I could have done that in my head, but as I've told you before, let the calculator do the heavy lifting. It's too easy, as you've seen with my terrible arithmetic, it's too easy to make a stupid little mistake. Just let the calculator do it. Now, the yield is just going to be the 4.35. Now, the thing you have to remember, well, let me not do that. Price value. Remember, PVs always go in as a negative. We don't know it. So we're just going to leave that alone. I shouldn't have even done that. Payments. All you do is take 0.04, the coupon, times $1,000. Always the coupon times 1,000. Now, we'll tweak these when we do semi-annuals, but don't get fancy right now. Yes? My bad. See, I did that on purpose, just to make sure you could tell. anyway, FV 1,000. Now, for heaven's sakes, make sure you're on end. These are normal, ordinary annuities. The coupons are being paid at the end of every year, all that. Come up here. Before you do it, you see CVS pays 4.2%. The market says you should pay more than that. So we should see a number that is a discount to par. It should be less than $1,000. It doesn't prove you're right if you get less than $1,000, but it should make you feel a lot more comfortable if, when we do alpha solve on the PV, well, spank me, there we go. 985.34 is the quote. I'm sorry, it's a price. Now, if I said quote it, you should tell me 98.53, if I say quote. For heaven's sakes, look at what I ask. If I say price, just write $985.34. If I say quote it on the 100 or quote it, you say 98.53. Yeah.
Can you clarify how we got the 4.35?
The 4.35 will be what the market wants. That will be the yield.
Will that be given?
Yes. Well, or the price will be given. Here I'm doing one where we are given the yield. Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that up. Let me emphasize that. Here, we need the price. We know the yield. In the next problem, I'll know the price, and I'll need the yield. Okay. There's your answer, 985.34. Follow these steps. Just do it. Bang, bang, bang. A long time ago, I would just kind of blow through this and say, well, here it is. Just watch me do it. And then it's been like 15 years ago. I realized, no, this is just a mechanical exercise. Just do it like instructions in a guidebook, and you'll get it. Okay, so there's your answer. Now, you don't know this is right, but you do have a suspicion that you've got it because the yield was above the coupon. So when the yield is bigger than the coupon, the price will be at a discount to par, which means less than 1,000. If the yield is above the coupon, if the yield is below the coupon, that means that the coupon is paying more than it needs to, so the bond will sell at a premium. If I could spell premium, to par. In other words, it will sell above 1,000. There's an old trick question. If it's right, if the yield and the coupon are the same, it will sell at par. Where the hell was? Oh, okay. So there's your dinner right there, 985.34. Okay, so now I'm going to do one where I know the price, but I don't know the yield. FVX 3.85% 2029. In this one, I know the price, but I won't know the yield. In this one, the price is $1,025. Dollars, and we don't know the yield. First of all, do you see that this bond is selling at a premium to par? That means that the coupon should be bigger than the yield. Investors are buying the hell out of this bond because its coupon is candy. So that should push the price above par. So let's have a look at this. We'll take 2029 less 2022. By the way, let's try that again. 2029 minus 2022. That number, by the way, I said this before, put it in your notes. That's the term of the bond. This time we don't know the I percent. Again, don't ever delete. Just leave it alone. You'll come back to it. But in this one, I don't know the price. We'll come back and get that. Now, the payment is the coupon, 0.0385 times the 1,000. Everything else is the same. What's below FV? What's below the FV and everything below that? That's not going to change from one problem to the other, to the next. Now, I was, just as a quick mention, and someone asked me about this in my office, he said, well, in accounting, they taught us to do the P and the P over Y and the C over Y. And it doesn't get you the right answer in some cases. I'll show you why in a minute here. But anyway, let's go up here to the price value. Now, remember, it should be above 1,000. Alpha, solve. What did I do? Oh, the I, I did this price, sorry. Let's try that one more time. $1,025. Try that again. $1,025 on the price value. And now we come up to the yield. Alpha, solve. 3.44. You see it? Yield less than coupon, premium to par. That's all there is to it. Yeah. Okay. The yield, or I'm sorry, the coupon was 3.85%. You see that, right? Right there. FVX. Okay. This bond was selling at above par. It was selling at 1,025, above 1,000. That means investors love this bond. They're buying it. They're pushing it up in price. The reason they love it is because the yield is too rich. The yield is better than it needs to be. The coupon is better than it needs to be. The market is actually saying, when you calculate the yield, you're finding out what the market thinks the bond should pay for a coupon. It pays more than that. I want to show you something here. Say that again. Yeah, that's the yield. That's the alpha solve. In this one, I didn't know the yield, so I go up there alpha solve on that one. I want you to notice something. I'm going to show you something here. The term of the bond was 7 years. It's got 7 years left in its life, 2022 to 2029. What would happen if everything were the same, but we had only 4 years left? How about 2 years left? Wow. The impact is stronger on the yield. If everything held the same, the yield is sliding. Now I'm going to do one more of each, just so you have another example of each. TCY 5.12% 2040 first we'll do the yield. First we'll do one where we know the yield. Let's say it's 5.05%, and we don't know the price. This is like the first example. I'm just doing another one just like it. First, we'll need the term of the bond. This one is 2040 minus 2022. So in other words, this bond has 18 years left. Now, we were told the yield here, which is 5.05. And we don't know the price value, so we'll leave that alone. Let's just get the coupon. The coupon will be 0.0512 times 1,000. Try that again. Times 1,000. So in other words, this bond actually pays $51.20 a year as a coupon. You get a check for $51.20 every year. And then you get one last one at the end in 2040, and you get your $1,000 in the mail. And again, remember, leave everything below that alone. Now let's go back up and let's get the price of the bond. Alpha, one thing. Do you see that the market says this bond should pay 5.05? The coupon is actually better than that, it's 5.12. So in this case, yield is below the coupon, so we should see this above $1,000. Alpha, solve. Well, there it is, $1,008. And 15 cents. The reason is simple. The bond is paying a coupon the market says is better than it should be. So, of course, investors are going to buy this thing. It's candy. Now, I want you to watch something here. Watch what happens to the price as the bond gets closer to maturity. Suppose we're, instead of 18 years, we're 10 years out. It goes to $1,005. Suppose it is only 4 years out. Do you see what's happening? As the term, write this down for God's sake. This is my question on tests and quizzes. As the term approaches zero, the price approaches par. Let's see what happens if we're at 2 years out. $1,001.30. What happens if it has just a year left? So, see what's happening? The logic is this. Look, the yield and the coupon, if they're different, that matters a lot more if there's a long time left. Let me say that again. If there's a long time remaining, any difference between the yield and the coupon is more important. You see, when there were 18 years left and the coupon and the yield were spread out, that made the bond have more value because you were going to get that difference for a longer period of time. But when the bond is closer to finishing up, that difference really doesn't make much difference, as it were. One of the things it was at the beginning of the semester. We have a relatively new finance chairman, and he was talking about formulas and all of this. And I said, well, I don't use the formulas. I use the calculator. And he looked very unhappy. He said, well, you should use the formulas. And I said, I don't. I said, do you realize how fast I can show some underlying principle if I can just shift a number and not have to go through the hellacious calculation again? In this case, I can show you as the bond term approaches zero, the price approaches par, and I can show you how it happens, one problem after another after another. He sort of grudgingly said, yeah, but we all had to suffer back. I know, we all had to do it the hard way back in the, you know, in the Stone Age, but we're not there yet. Okay, now, I'm going to do one more. This time, we'll know the price, and we won't know the yield. FLK... 4.3535%, 20 36. The price is $97.65, and the yield we don't know. But before we go any further, I made a mistake. Do you see the mistake I made? I said price, and that isn't a price. You see there's no dollar sign on it, and you see it's ridiculously too low? That's a quote. So I'm going to have to multiply that by 10 to get it to work with the problem. Be careful. I won't be that deceptive on a quiz or an exam. Your next quiz will just have some of these problems on it. Just do them. Just show me you can do it, and then you've got some of the hard stuff of the final over with. Okay, so now the term of the bond here is 2036 less 2022. So this bond has what? 14 years left. The term of the bond is 14. Now, in this case, I don't know the yield, so I'm going to leave that alone. But I do know that the price is negative 976.5. You say, well, wait a minute. You wrote it there? No, I gave you a quote. I mistakenly called it a price, but it's not a price. There was no dollar sign on it. And it's way too small to be a bond price. Unless you're talking about some horrible bond. Now the payment. You take the coupon, 0.0435 times 1,000. A little warning here. You notice that with finance apps, you always put in percentages. You don't have to worry about the decimal version. The exception is here because I'm actually doing a little bit of arithmetic, so you do have to use a decimal. Leave everything else alone. Let's do alpha solve. Now, first of all, do you notice that this bond is selling at a discount to par? So the yield should be higher than 4.35. Let's see what happens. Take it up here, alpha. Solve. Yep, sure is. Matter of fact, that 976 is actually a pretty low price for a normal bond. So, yeah, that yield should be noticeably above the coupon. Okay. Now I'm going to tear you up with one last example where we actually do semi-annual. LPV 3.90% 2028 price yield. The price is $1,015.10. We don't know the yield. And now we're going to do semi-annual payments the way it really is. All you have to do is remember to tweak the formula, tweak the numbers just a little bit. If you're paying the payments semi-annually, there will be twice as many as there would be before. So in the end, you're going to want to say 2028 less 2022, and then you're going to want to multiply that term by 2 because instead of 6 years remaining, there will be 12 payments remaining. Now, the yield, we don't know. Leave it alone because we've got to go back and we'll have to fix our yield there. But the price we know is $1,015. The payments, the coupon, 0.039 times 1,000. But that coupon, $39 a year, it's going to be divided into two semi-annual pieces. So take the payment divided by two. If it's semi-annual, take the payment divided by two. If it's semi-annual, take the payment divided by two. Leave everything else alone. Now, we're going to go up here to the yield, and the yield's not going to be right because we gave it everything semi-annual, the number of payments and the coupon each time. So we're going to have to go alpha solve, and we get only half of the right answer. So you just run over here to the end of it and times it by two. If you don't know the yield, times it by two. If you do know the yield, divide it by two. Let me say that again. If you don't know the yield, times it by two. If you do know the yield, divide it by two. Anyway, going down here, the answer is, well, the yield on this is 3.62%. Which makes sense because it's selling at a premium. The coupon was 3.9, so the yield is going to be less than the coupon. And now let me take you through a price one. The price one is a little easier. RIG 4.55%, 2035, semi-annual. Now, in this case, we don't know the price, but we know that the yield is 4.65%. Whoops, let's do 4.75 so I get some spread here. Term of the bond will be 2035 less, well, try that again, 2035 minus 2022. Now remember that if it's semi-annual, you have to take times two because there will be two payments every year. So for a total of 26 payments. Now in this case, I know the yield. It's 4.75. But if I, like I said, if you know the yield, divide it by two because it'll compound twice a year. I know the yield, divide it by two. Walk it down. I don't know the price, so I'll leave that alone. I know that the coupon is 0.0455 times 1,000. So that's going to be $45.50 a year, but I'm going to get that in two installments, so I divide by two. Divide the payment by two. If it's semi-annual, divide the payment by two. And everything else, leave it the heck alone and come up here. We don't know the price. Alpha, solve. $980.77. Now, I want you to watch something real quick here. What if you, on a test, said, to hell with that semi-annual crap. I don't know how that works. I'm just going to do 13 years, and I'm, 13 years, and I'm going to do 4.75%. And I'm going to do 45.50 a year. Let's see how much the payment would be different if you did it mistakenly. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wow. That I percent, no, 4.75. And then you'll have alpha solve, 980.77. That's a lot of difference there. Did I put something wrong? Oh, the years, geez, silly. 13 years. Wow. Never mind. That's all I have for you. Knock it off. Thank you.